Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Green Pass Gaming's Thursday evening podcast. Unfortunately, Scott can't be with us tonight because, funnily enough, he had a last-minute surprise. I believe it's his birthday tomorrow. Happy birthday, Scott, if you're seeing this. And I believe his family had arranged for a surprise visit this evening, of which he obviously wasn't aware because it was a surprise. So, unfortunately, he's had to bail last minute. But outside of that, we're going to carry on and have a good old show. Low-key, just talking about gaming as we've done the last couple of weeks and just have a good old time. So as you probably see, we've got Luke with us as normal. How are you doing well, Luke? How's it going?
Yeah, doing really well, thanks. I was going to call you Scott then. And so already prepared, he's let us down because his birthday is tomorrow. Bad Scott. No, thank you very much, Pucks. Yeah, appreciate it. And yeah, doing very well. And there's been quite a lot of news, actually, I guess, over the last week or so. So looking forward to talking about it.
Yeah, definitely. And last but definitely not least, we have a special guest on tonight, as you've probably seen already. We're all cammed up. You can see what we look like. We've had this guy on for a really long time. So really, really excited to welcome BMG to the show. How are you doing, sir? It's been an awful long time. Hope you've been well.
I'm fine. Thank you very much. Thank you for having me back. It has been a while. It's been a long while, but it's great to be back where, for me, it all started. You know? So, great to be here. Glad to be here. Happy to shoot the breeze with you guys. And in Scott's honour, as I promised, I would have a couple of Fosters for him, you know, just so he doesn't miss out. But, yeah, thank you for having me. It's brilliant to be here. Excited to get into everything.
Yeah, definitely. And I say you're going on quite a few different podcasts now, aren't you? If I've seen correctly.
Yeah, I'm now a full-time member on the XBL Party Podcast. Currently back in September. But there's some exciting stuff coming soon. So keep an eye out on the socials for that. I'm also with Luke and Stubbs on Roundtable Gaming, which is, again, we haven't set anything lately for that, I don't think. I think Stubbs too busy swimming in the sea somewhere in Scarborough, I think. So we'll get around to that. And also, we've got a new show coming on the 16th of August. Yeah, Stasis Chat, which is mainly Destiny. So if you're a bit of a Destiny fan, check us out on the socials, and there'll be obviously more information coming very closer to the time.
Wow, I see you're involved in a lot more than I thought you was. So you've got a busy schedule now in your podcasting career.
More than I thought.
Yeah, yeah.
It's all good. And I didn't see myself going down this kind of route, but I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, definitely. And that's good to have you here as well. And I suppose after that brief welcoming and introductions, I think why not? Let's just jump straight into it. So I think one of the first topics that we had lined up mainly to talk about is around the whole Activision Blizzard acquisition stuff, which has been kicking around again over the last couple of days. I think there's been a lot of mention of, I think Xbox made some comments regarding, so regulators, I believe, are doing their formal kind of work around talking to different industry, different companies within the industry, getting their view on the takeover for them to try to understand what the deal means for them, if it was all to go through. I'm sure Luke can go into more detail into the specifics of this. But ultimately, Microsoft have turned around and said that they don't believe that they're acquiring any must-have IPs as part of this deal. A lot of other companies have obviously shot back, and one of the big ones doing the rounds has been Sony basically saying that, saying that there are particular titles which do influence and affect consumer choice in terms of what consoles they play and what hardware they decide to game on. And the biggest contender of that is, of course, Call of Duty. It's one of the biggest selling IPs ever out there, and it definitely drives the PlayStation brand. So they've been a little bit concerned about it in their official response to these regulators. But the media has kind of picked this up, and it's caused this massive storm, and I've seen a lot of people on the internet make claims that Sony have thrown their toys at the pram, and or they're just butthurt, or they're angry, or whatever. So, you know what? It's one of the big topics, so why not get the panel's opinion on it? So I think, Luke, I'll start with you, if that's all right. I know you've been doing a bit of back and forth with some members of the Discord channel. Overall, what are your thoughts on this and Sony's response? I mean, I personally think it's quite understandable, but, you know, are people blowing it over, or is there some genuine thoughts behind it?
Yeah, I mean, it's been a bit weird to see it all unfold, really. I think it's strange anyway, because it's very odd that a competition regulator would publish, you know, the opinions of interested third parties. I've never seen it. Didn't know Brazil did it, but apparently they publish everything, literally everything to do with their kind of analysis of the merger. Different merger regimes, or competition regimes, I should say. There's many that where they solicit third party opinions. They have like a public period where they might have an X date to Y date, and people can just write in and, you know, say what they think about it, and they might, you know, influence a competition regulator one way or another. but this is the first time I've ever seen it kind of all in the open, so I thought it was quite interesting. And I guess the Brazilian regulator kind of asked a bunch of questions, so they were kind of stock questions, presumably from their own analysis, that they wanted a different view, you know, viewpoint from someone who might be interested. And yeah, as you said, a bunch of companies gave responses, one of which was Sony. I mean, yeah, it's a bit, I think the action has been a bit strange, because I don't think anything that Sony said in their responses, and bearing in mind they're responding to specific questions, it's not as if they just went, Sony, what do you think? You know, go nuts, just say what you want. They asked probably 10, 12, 30 questions. And so Sony's responses are all to these questions, and they are all in, or they were translated from Portuguese. So we don't know how much is added to that, taken away in the translation, etc. But nonetheless, and I think pretty much everything they said, I don't think there's anything that's kind of weird or, you know, not logical in some way. And I'm surprised that, like, obviously Sony are going to be negative towards this, because if you are Sony and one of your biggest, you know, rivals in the, you know, gaming ecosystem space, being Microsoft, is acquiring one of your biggest partners, effectively, then you're going to pick the negatives out. Like, I don't know why people expected Sony's responses to essentially be, sounds brilliant, you know, go ahead, you know, enjoy. Yeah. Like, they were always going to be on the negative side. And even then, I don't think what they've said is that controversial. So I don't know if they're getting their knickers in a twist about it, to be honest. You know, they talked about things like the things that might influence you to buy or to game on a particular ecosystem or a platform. They said the main motivator of that is available content. Don't think that's particularly controversial. I don't, you know, they said, they talked about how big Call of Duty is and how effectively, you know, other developers and publishers wouldn't or can't really make an equivalent game in that space.
And that is accurate, same, I think.
Yeah, of course it is. I mean, they gave some, I think there was other bits and pieces they talked about, but they gave an example that, you know, a yearly Call of Duty release, they estimated uses 1,200 developers and about, I think it was 1,500 partners in marketing, advertising, etc. a year, which they rightfully said was, if you look at that, that's more personnel than some game development studios or publishers have across multiple different developers.
Yeah, that's an insane number.
It's an insane number. It's an absolute insane number. And they said, look, you know, the amount that there is hundreds upon hundreds of millions of dollars for a yearly release, right? For, I mean, it's probably change in the future, but at the moment, it's a yearly release. Mm. So are they wrong to say that Call of Duty, you know, a competitor couldn't make something like that? I don't think so. I think people could try. But you're also, you know, up against 20 years of brand recognition, goodwill, fan base, etc. So how do you even How do you even comprehend to grow something, so that's, something as big as that?
That's partly it, isn't it? It's because for any IP to have been around that long, it's almost like, you know, like Super Mario or something like that. It's such a long-standing iconic IP. Like if you try to make it an equivalent competitor of the direct, you know, of the same thing, like it's not going to catch on nowhere near as quick, and you're not going to dethrone it at all. The only I think, like with things like Call of Duty, the only way I think that people would could ever dethrone the IP is if the IP was to go into such shambles that it basically kills itself. I feel like that's the only way that someone else could beat it is when it declines on its own right. But BMG, we've heard from you yet. What do you think of all this? I know you've been going back and forth from the Discord and stuff as well, but share us your thoughts. What do you think about all this?
I can't believe Sony have said anything bad against it. It's just, really? Sony? You're going to say something bad? Of course, just because Brazil, obviously, they've come out and they've turned around and said, you know, they pretty much disclosed everything that they've asked, and everyone's just picking at Sony. Oh, they're not happy with it. Oh, they're upset with it. Of course, they're not, as Luke says, they're not going to be happy. They're not going to be like, yeah, not a problem. We love it. You know, it's the best thing that's ever happened to Call of Duty. Of course, they're not going to say that. But you're going to look at all, I'm sure with all the regulators, they've all been asking the same questions. Obviously, they don't disclose. It's nothing secret as in, you know, getting a feel for the industry of how it's going to affect things. Because I'm assuming a lot of these government boards and bodies and stuff aren't going to know the industry. They're going to rely on talking to other groups, other companies, people in the industry to get an idea of how this is going to affect worldwide. And of course, Sony are going to say, you know, it does have an effect. Well, of course they are, because they don't want it to go. Of course, they're not going to want it to go through. Not, you know, if you're a rival and had a rival company, you're not going to want it to go through. But, you know, I'm assuming like with Sony purchasing Bungie, I'm assuming it was the same sort of thing. They asked around maybe for the same sort of thing, maybe how it's going to affect asking companies. For all we know, Microsoft got asked what you know, a questionnaire of how it's affected and stuff. But there's just so many people that are just literally seeing a headline, Sony are scared, Sony aren't happy. They're, you know, Sony have come out and said, as if they've literally just one day gone, you know what, I'm just going to go and tell everyone that I'm happy with this. You know, but that is the narrative that's going around. That's what people are doing. Is if it's Sony have just announced, you know what, we're not happy with this, but that's not the case. They were asked questions, specific questions, as Luke said, they've answered them and they've made it public, which, you know, probably Sony wouldn't have wanted that public, because it's, you know, it's almost painting them like they're these bad people, but it's the same as any rival company. It's, I think people that just jump straight on that narrative and go with that are stupid. Because it makes them look stupid when they haven't put a bit more thought into it. Don't get me wrong, I'm the dumbest person I know. You know, I am. But at least when you get these sort of things, you look into it, read articles, have a look into it, just to be a bit more informed, to make a bit more of an informed decision, you know, opinion on what you think of it from looking at it, you know. It's, I don't think it's going to stop anything. I don't think it's going to change anything. It's, they were asked questions, they answered them, and I'm sure all the other different governing bodies have asked the same. I'm sure it happens to probably any acquisitions on any company that are going round, but this is the one that kind of got traction, and Sony just came out and said it without prompt. But
I say Stubbs Gaming in the chat as well, just asking me the question if what I'd said at the beginning of the show about them mentioning Call of Duty not being a must-have, if that's true. And I posted in the comments a quote, which is from a pure Xbox link, actually. And they basically say that there is nothing unique about the video games developed and published by Activision Blizzard that is a must-have for rival PC and console video game distributors, which I think we can all fairly say that's bullshit, isn't it? Because Call of Duty is probably the one... If there's only one must-have, it's Call of Duty under that umbrella of Activision Blizzard, which is deemed a big must-have. So I think it's a bizarre stance from Microsoft to say that. But I don't know, Luke, any particular reason why you think they would have said that? Is this just the whole... I've seen a number of comments going around that it's just them basically trying to cover their toes and say, oh, no, no, it's fine. Don't worry about it, which is it definitely reads that way. But I suppose from a more legal standpoint, you know, are they just trying to fluff their way through and just trying to make it easier for themselves?
Well, yeah. Put yourself in Microsoft's shoes.
I know.
What would you say? You'd say, oh, yeah, actually, Call of Duty is one of the most valuable IPs in gaming. Every other publisher and developer we know would love to have Call of Duty. How does that look?
We're taking it away.
You know, yeah, and we're taking, you know, we're buying it, you know. And yeah, obviously they've come out and said that they're not going to hold it exclusive to, you know, their own platform, etc. They're going to keep it on PlayStation, all that sort of stuff, which makes sense. But again, it's like, well, what would you expect them to say? Like, this isn't, you know, they're not trying to tank or torpedo their own deal. So they're not going to come out and say, well, actually, you know what, this might be pretty bad for competition, so you should reject it. Like, of course they're not going to say that. They're not going to say anything like, and it's not, by the way, it's not what they're doing. Like, it's not going to cause any competition issues. This will sail through 100% across every regulator in the world.
So I think we're pretty confident as well, aren't we, that, you know, even when it still is done and dusted, that, you know, Call of Duty is going to remain multi-platform because of how much money it brings in. And as you, I think you said it on the last show, actually, that, you know, PlayStation brings in the most, Call of Duty on PlayStation is what brings in the most revenue. So Microsoft aren't just going to pull that support away, are they?
No, and I mean, you know, if you look at it, I would think that, you know, Call of Duty, that PlayStation is probably Call of Duty's biggest single fan base in terms of, you know, units sold and active players and all that stuff. I would, you know, if you broke it up like that, I would, maybe except for mobile, right? You would probably say that. So, you know, Microsoft aren't stupid about this. There's no need for them to make Call of Duty exclusive because their race in the hole with all of this is to just say, well, it's in Game Pass. So, you know, you can go and buy it on PlayStation if you want to stick there, and many people will. Some people may come over, like, I don't know how much, but it doesn't matter for Microsoft, does it? It's like Sony putting, you know, MLB The Show on Xbox. Like, it's ultimately, it makes Sony more money, right? So it's not like a big loss. It's and you know, Call of Duty, it's the same because it's always been a multi-platform franchise. And that's not to say that other franchises won't be exclusive to kind of Xbox ecosystems, because they will. But I think, you know, Call of Duty, and probably one of the points that Sony was trying to make, it falls into this, they said this category of its own. It's a bit like Minecraft or Fortnite or something like that, where it's kind of its own identity, its own huge identity. So, it's just a bit weird, to be honest. I mean, the reaction to comments from Sony, comments from Microsoft, I've just found it quite bizarre. Nothing controversial to my mind, though. Yeah. It's just strange.
Yeah, I'd assume it was some, you know, it's part of the way all these deals sort of work anyway, where they're asking, obviously, other members of the industry to see how it affects things. So I think it's just been grabbed. News, online services and that, they've all run with it. They've all made it sound like they've just come out and said it, trying to cause friction and problems where it's not even needed. You know, it's going to be kept multi-platform. Yes, there's going to be a point where when existing contracts have finished that you're going to see more exclusive stuff on Xbox. You're never going to see, as in the game itself exclusive, but you might have map packs, zombies, literally like what Sony pay for. You know, Sony pay for these sort of things. So, you know, how many years has it been where there's been certain maps and modes that are exclusive for a year on PlayStation? And the time that deal's up, the new one's already out, and then it's the same deal again. So, you know, it does kind of work that way. You know, Sony paying to keep stuff exclusive on PlayStation and keep it off the other platform. You know, it's like the whole, you know, just pick Final Fantasy, for example. You know, maybe just say Square Enix, they were going to put it everywhere, but Sony paid X amount of money to keep it off that platform. They don't own it, but they paid to keep it off. You know, we don't know what that deal is or what's gone on there, but we know the exclusivity thing ended was it, should it ended earlier this year or last back end of last year? And we still haven't seen Final Fantasy VII Remake on the Xbox side of stuff. You know, so it's like, you know, it is a matter of like, they, Sony do stuff to keep stuff off other things by paying money. Sony buy them, but Xbox buy them, Microsoft buy them, but they're keeping stuff multi-plat. I think pretty much everything to a certain extent that's going to come out of this deal is going to be multi-platform anyway. So, you know, so it's just a matter of waiting, seeing what's going to happen. But I don't think it's going to stop the deal. You know, I don't know the ins and outs of it. I wouldn't have a clue. You know, I'm the guy who's getting told stuff that then gets distracted by a squirrel running around outside, you know. So, but I can't imagine, you know, they've got like some of the best lawyers on the planet, except for Luke. They haven't got Luke, which is a shame. Yeah. But, you know, they wouldn't just go into these things not looking at stuff, covering the, you know, the basics and the bases and stuff before they go into all this. And I don't think we'd be this far if they didn't think it was going to go through. I think it's going to go through, to be honest. And once it's gone through, we'll move on to the next thing that we're upset with, or one side's upset with the other side. And best thing to do is just have both consoles.
Yeah. If you can afford them both, so, I guess.
It's a mad concept, that, isn't it? Just, you know, if you can, just get the other
console. Just own them all. Yeah, you got
just own the console. Like, then you don't have to worry about any of this bullshit.
what was it I saw the other day? Something about someone saying, "Oh, PlayStation and considering putting the price up for the PlayStation 5 because the Quest 2's gone up 100 quid," and it's like, and then Sony had to comment and said, "We haven't got anything to discuss yet." Or was it an earnings thing? They were asked the question, and then people are running with that the price is going to go up. You know, and it's just like, just calm down, just chill. Just take a breath. Yeah. It's okay.
Have a breather.
Have a drink,
yeah. Have a nice drink.
I think the typical problem with that as well, though, is it's always the people that scream the loudest are those who don't have a clue what they're talking about for the most part. They'll just, as you say, grab a headline and then run with it, and then some media oik picks it up and it writes an article, and then that gets picked up, and it's, oh, Christ, okay.
Yeah. I was just going to say that I think as well, what people forget is Sony didn't say, you know, in any of these responses, Sony didn't say, "We don't think the merger should proceed." They didn't say that. They didn't say anything like that. They just answered the questions that they were given. Of course they were negative, it was for the reasons that we've discussed. But, you know, I don't think they're under any illusions that them saying something like that would do anything in particular. It wouldn't, because it's not judged on the basis of what third parties think, even though that might be influential to some extent to a regulator. It's judged on an analysis of relevant markets and whether the merger in question, you know, provides something that's anti-competitive in some way, or that you know, is bad for consumers. And I don't think, from all the noises that we've heard from Microsoft and, you know, Activision as well, that there is anything bad for consumers. If anything, it will be of benefit to consumers, because it will be increased competition in the gaming space. You know, there's the Game Pass angle, so in a way that's good for consumers. It's much ado about nothing, but that's just Twitter gaming, really, isn't it? Just a bunch of idiots talking about things they don't understand, can't comprehend, or that they want to fit into a, you know, particular box or a viewpoint that they have. Reams of confirmation bias and bullshit, essentially. So just stop engaging in it.
I think you said the same thing last week as well.
I don't know if you can tell, I'm getting really annoyed with it, actually.
Oh, I've been catching on,
Really frustrating. Yeah, it's just frustrating, because I just think, why do people care so much? I don't understand this. Why do you care? What does it matter? Like, it won't make any tangible difference to you, really. Or at least in a way that kind of properly affects your life. You know, that it's video games. We're talking about a $1 billion company acquiring another, like a multi-billion dollar company, a multi-trillion dollar company acquiring a multi-billion dollar company that another multi-billion dollar company isn't that happy about. Who cares? Who cares? Unless you, like, I'd if you're a shareholder,
that
maybe.
That was
worded
in such a perfect way that it actually makes perfect sense. So I didn't get it before, but like, that is the idiot's guide to understanding the level that this is at.
Yeah. It's, you know, I listen to podcasts, and I'm not going to name names, but podcasts where people are just vigorously, you know, defending like Microsoft. And it happens for Sony as well. I've seen podcasts like that. I'm saying it's one way or the other. You know, attacking another platform holder for their views on a thing that will affect that platform holder's bottom line, probably to some extent. If you were in their position, you would say exactly the same thing. Just like, you know, and if you were in the position of Microsoft trying to defend their merger with Activision, you would say exactly what Microsoft is saying because, you know, it's a business. They're not friends. They're not enemies either, per se. But, like, there's no, you know, if you run a company, if you're a director, who do you have a duty to? Your shareholders. You don't have a duty to anyone else. Yeah. Microsoft don't have a duty to Sony and vice versa. So they're going to say what they think. And it's usually going to be negative vis-a-vis each other. So, yeah, it's just weird.
I think along those lines, something else that I read recently, which, like, it was a nice article, I guess, but I don't know, it's almost like the way it was delivered, the one I read at least, it was just a bit bizarre. It was basically how I think Phil Spencer had tweeted a couple of days ago that one of his most anticipated games of the year is God of War Ragnarok. And because it's on a rival platform, like everyone's like, oh my God, the head of Xbox's upcoming game is on a PlayStation. Like, people can't believe it. It's just like, no, because I think like a lot of people, it's a great game and many people, people anticipate it's going to be a fantastic game and can't wait to play it. Like, why does it, who cares? It's the same level, isn't it? It's like, yeah. It's just a person as a preference. He just happens to work as a head of Xbox. It's just like, who gives a shit?
Yeah. I mean, I heard a discussion about that on somewhere else where, you know, right. IGN ran an article on that to say, Phil Spencer said, you know, that he's, his most anticipated game this year is God of War Ragnarok. And I think the subheadline was something like, you know, even the boss of Xbox is, you know, can't resist God of War or something like that. And then the rest of the article was literally just very short, talking about what Phil Spencer said. And it was quite neutral, if you want to put it that way. Like, it was just reporting on it. And I heard, you know, people saying, oh, you know, this is typical IGN, you know, always batting for Sony, you know, stuck in console wars. And I was just like, have you actually read the article? You know, have you actually seen what they're literally just talking about what Phil Spencer said? It's not like it's they painted it in such an angle that it's you know, somehow derisory towards Xbox. They didn't say anything.
Phil Spencer
about
wishes he worked for a PlayStation.
Yeah, like. Exactly. He wishes he had God of War Ragnarok as an Xbox exclusive. Like, it's just nonsense. It's just total nonsense. It's proper. It hurts my brain.
Stubbs Gaming in chat saying that he's making a declaration that you're definitely triggered right now.
I am triggered. Yeah, I am.
Oh, go for it. Yeah. Now's
just
the time
before
to
your make. Holiday. Just before your holiday. Gotta keep it.
I know. Yeah. Well, I might as well. I get it out now. And
That's it.
So, are you doing yourself a favor and staying away from social media, or will you be checking in every day, getting pissed off and going,
no.
The reason I know I went away, throw the phone.
No, I'll still check in. I never go away from it. If anything, it is quite entertaining, albeit also quite annoying. But yeah, it's just strange, isn't it? I think some people just have this need to kind of attack certain platform holders, and I think, you know, being critical of platform holders is absolutely fine, but it's when it goes into this weird defense force stuff that I just can't stand it. I just find it very strange.
So BMG, do you find yourself going through this kind of similar motion in terms of social media, seeing as we're now on the topic of it? We might as well dive in.
It honestly is mind-blowing. You just, how people can just run with one thing and then turn it into something it's not. Phil Spencer's plays on a PlayStation. How dare he? He works for Xbox. It's his job. and he's a gamer, but how dare he play on a rival platform? He has, if you go back and watch the shows where he's on, he's got a Nintendo Switch in the background. No one says he's not, you know, have a do at him, you know, because he's got a Nintendo Switch there. You know, at the end of the day, we're all gamers. We enjoy gaming. It's games. It's a hobby. None of us are getting paid to play them and be on one platform over another. And again, like I say, all these companies, they're not our friends. They're not our friends. You know, they're not our best buds. They're a company. They're there to make money. And they're going to do what they can to make more money. And the happier the shareholders are, the more money they're making, the more they're going to keep doing. You know, play what you want. Play where you want. Enjoy what you want. I have both consoles. I'm fortunate to have both. I enjoy games on both. Sometimes, you know, you're like, don't want to play this, but my mates are playing this, you know, and things like that. And it's, you're going to enjoy what you play, wherever you want to play it, on whatever platform you want to play it, you know. Get out your Game Boy, play on that if you want to play on that instead to be different, you know. But, yeah, it's just so mind-blowing how some people are so hardcore that one way that they can't see any other point of view or anything. And as Luke says, there are certain podcasts out there who will champion one side that can do no wrong and slay the other side. And it's just like, why can't we all just enjoy everything that the industry offers? Don't do it with like films. You don't do it with music. You know, you don't have, you know, movie wars and stuff like that. You know, you can enjoy it. Wide variety of different media. So why can't we do that with games as well? It's mind-boggling. It really is.
I've been with that. I've actually got a bit of a hot take in a way, which I've got to think of how a nice way to word it. Because I watched it was an interview on YouTube the other day of the person. I don't know if you guys have heard of this, but there's a person, some random person online, who's putting together a Bloodborne, like they're demaking Bloodborne as like a PS1 game.
Oh, yeah.
I think it was
No clip. Yeah. I watched it. Yeah, it was really good.
It's a really good video. And if you guys haven't watched it, definitely check that out. It's basically one person who's wanted to make a game. They do their own game. I think they do programming somewhere for some company doing other stuff. They did this as a little side project, and then it kind of blew up. So they went through making the game. And they did this No Clip did about a 20-minute documentary, and the person sits there and they talk and they go through. Well, the process basically of what they did, how they did it, why they did it. For those who aren't familiar as well, apparently a number of years ago there was a meme for a game called it was basically something called Bloodborne Cart. and I think just to explain for people that haven't heard of this, the general story, and they go into this on the No Clip interview, is that some person online was trying to prove how easy it is to make a fake leak. And the idea, they basically took screenshots of like an Assassin's Creed Syndicate cart carriage race and all the rest of it, and made it look like Bloodborne. And they kind of, I'm going way off topic, but they go into all this kind of stuff that they do. But I'm not judging the person. The person who makes the game is super talented. You can tell there's a lot of passion behind it. But as soon as I saw the person, like just by the way they were dressed and the type of person they are, it kind of made me realize in a way how. I know, and this goes to what you've said, BMG, that you don't really see this in other industries like music or films, or at least not to the same degree. And I want to get your guys' opinion on this, because I just want to make sure I'm not the only one. Maybe I'm isolating my opinion, but I feel like gaming as a hobby, I guess, seems to attract a lot more, what do I say, eccentric characters out there, but to the point of eccentric characters who are, I don't know. I'm trying to figure out how to word it, but I know I'm not going to go down very well. I'm going to word it in such a way that's going to sound really horrible. I'm not going to mean it that way. But basically, a lot of gamers out there are weird. Like, they're really weird, eccentric characters who seem to think they know it all and know everything and need to be on top. But it kind of goes against the whole confirmation bias that you were talking about, Luke. And there's this whole need for togetherness in the weirdness of people just loving to be weird together. And I mean, that's fine, but it's when that reaches like social media and it becomes this thing which the rest of us get subjected to, which I think is, I don't want to say it's partly the issue, but I mean, say something, guys. Am I just talking rubbish here? Am I alone in my opinion? Or do you kind of get what I'm trying to say?
No, I agree. It's this, you know, there's so, like, it is, there are so many weirdos out there who this place of entitlement that everyone should think, feel, and join in. And there are a select few that be weird together, so to speak. You know, for all we know, they meet up on weekends, dress up as a cat, and climb trees. For all we know, you know, that sort of thing. You never know. People who do all sorts of things.
You just described my weekend, BMG. I didn't know you were in my yard. What are you doing?
Always watching. But yeah, it's so strange that some people, and like I say, gaming does attract it more than anything else, that people, certain people think a certain way, can't see anything else, and everyone else should think the exact same way. Psychopaths. I think that's probably, yeah, you know, like, to the point, what was it a couple of weeks ago? People sending pictures of the genitals to the God of War team and then Champion when they got a release date because they thought that's what got them the release date. That's just like, it's just bizarre, you know. Personally, I think it was me that got the release date when I sent the picture of my bald head. But
that was me.
Zoom in enough, it might look like a ball bag, you don't know. But
it must have been the angle I went at. But yeah. It's just bizarre. It's so bizarre. Bizarre world.
Yeah. I mean, I can see. I see what you mean, Pucks. I think.
Just to defend myself, I guess. I bring up the NoClip interview because that's kind of where I started thinking about it. Only because it looks different. Yeah. I mean, I'm not used to seeing people like that. But that's fine. I don't care about that. But it made me think that there are people out there who are their own person in that way, but they don't have much of the knowledge to back themselves up. So then they form kind of this tribalism and almost hypnotize themselves, if you get what I mean, or, you know, brainwash themselves. That's the kind of message I was trying to get across, and how that seems to be the case more in gaming than any other.
Yeah, I mean, I think that does exist in other stuff, especially pop culture stuff, because it tends to attract people who are very, very different individually and who do have like a high level of eccentricity, as you say. Like, I mean, that it wouldn't matter what, you know, if you were into, I don't know, a Marvel community you would find, or a DC or whatever, you would find people that are very different. And I think that should be celebrated. Like, I think that's a great thing.
Definitely.
Gaming is so kind of universal that it attracts very different people, but they all share this one interest. So I don't necessarily think that the problem is that it attracts eccentric people so much as it attracts morons as well, or people who are like, the biggest problem I have with a lot of this is that people, I kind of find it desperately sad more than anything, because if you, and look, these are like really tight kind of very, very micro communities on Twitter, etc., or on forums. But I mean, you see this more on Twitter, I think, than anything else. But there are certain people who, you know, they make it their life's mission by the amount of tweets that they do and the amount of stuff that they talk about to, be fanboys, essentially, or to, you know, try and aggressively put their opinion across in relation to video games. And I find that really sad, because I just think that if you're doing that, if you're putting so much energy into that, you're sacrificing energy you could put into, like, things that actually matter in life, you know, things that would actually make a tangible difference to your own life and other people's lives. I just find it really difficult to grasp that people like that exist, because I think it's fine to come into a gaming community and, you know, be positive, you know, act positively, and you know, celebrate games and stuff. But when you're then attacking other people, or you have a point of view and you don't understand how opinions work, and you're trying to kind of get everybody else to believe what you think, I think that's just really weird. And I wouldn't mind it so much if it was something that you were passionately believed about that could make a difference to people's lives. You know, if it was some, you know, God forbid, some political view or, you know, something like that, I mean, within reason, right? But if it's something that you think will actually make a difference to people's lives, I think that's fine to do it in a reasonable way. But it's video games. Like, it's a hobby, you know. I wouldn't go and take up, you know, speedboating and then go into speedboat communities and talk about how my speedboat, you know, was far better than any other brand of speedboat. Because who cares? Like, who cares? No, I've got a speedboat. Yeah. Who gives a shit? Like, who gives it? Everybody else has got a console. Everybody else plays games. Who cares? I don't care what, you know, people have to say about video games in some sense, because it's not as if I spend my night going, they made a really good point there. I spend my night going to sleep and getting up and having a normal life, you know, and like worrying about things that real people with real lives should worry about, not some console fanboy shenanigans on the internet. I just think that's strange. So yeah, I get your point, but I don't think it's eccentric people. I think it's stupid people who have no other purpose in life.
I think this is where I probably worded it wrong, but that was meant to be my general message. I think it's like that different communities are out there, but I suppose I see, again, a lot of these people form opinions based on what they experience and what they see in the real world, right? Like, you know, if every white van man driver out there cuts you up on the road, then you associate that to be an arsehole, for example. And I suppose similarly in the gaming space, when if I see people I don't care how people dress or look or what they do, as long as they are informed and give to the community, I guess, and just be respectful and all that kind of jazz. But it's people of a certain circle who are into similar things, which also seem to form, and you said it rightly, seem to form the kind of moron bubble. And from what I see online, they all kind of congregate from similar things. And that's kind of why when I say, and I saw this interview, it just triggered that thought in my mind that, oh, that's reminded me. I see a lot of things online and all these kind of bullshit stuff seems to come from people that are all into these similar interests. What's going on? But yeah, enough of that.
Yeah.
it's literally just a matter of if people just kind of looked into things a little bit more instead of, you know, spouting off first and then realizing they're an absolute idiot afterwards, but not can't take it back. So they have to keep pushing that narrative more and more forward. You know, it's not hard to just do a little bit of research before saying anything, you know, but that seems to be the way this like sort of industry goes with the people that are in it. It's just, you see a headline, you jump on it, or you hear a little sliver without context, you jump on it, spout a load of rubbish. Some people that follow you will then spout that rubbish as well because you said it, so it must be true. And then, you know, you kind of then just, it just goes around this vicious circle. But, you know, when I first saw, like I say, the whole thing with the Activision and Sony and the Microsoft thing pop up, and it's like, I went into it, I looked at it, I read it, seen what was actually going on, not what, you know, everyone on Twitter or certain groups of people on Twitter were saying, that their version of what happened. And then you're like, well, okay, well, that clearly didn't happen. So, but then when you try and, if you say anything or you try and correct them, that's it. You know, you just get piled on, you get abuse, you get insults, you get death threats. It's crazy. I've never known any sort of like entertainment industry where you get death threats over a game. You've delayed the game 6 months, so I'm going to find out where you live and murder your family. It's like, what? You know, it's bizarre. It's so bizarre that there's these, like I said, this cluster of people that it's almost like the cultists, you know, you think this way. If not, then crazy. Yeah. Absolutely crazy. What a world we live in.
Mm. Yeah.
What a world. And
I think it's weird because people, you know, seem to treat gaming in some respects or like players in gaming, so like Microsoft or Sony or Nintendo or whatever, they almost treat them like a sports team, you know, some cause to root for, which I always find really strange because, I mean, in an abstract way, rooting for a sports team in of itself is strange, but at least you can like tie it to like, you know, a community, you know, something linked to your own personal life. I mean, provided you support the sports team from where you're from, etc., it goes out the window if you don't. But like something like that, and like, you know, it's a competition, so you try to support, you know, a sports team and you want them to be the best because they're a kind of reflection of you in a way, or you tether yourselves to them. How can you tether yourselves to Microsoft or Sony? Like, what? You know, because you have Windows or I've got a Sony TV or whatever. Like, it's just nonsense. And why is it so arbitrary like that? If Sony and Microsoft made, you know, phones, which they both did at one point, essentially, like, you would find the same thing happening where people tether themselves to a product made by a manufacturer that they root for. It's just very odd. And I don't understand it. There needs to be some sort of study done on this because I need to, like, be able to comprehend why people do this. And I think it's fine to have, like, preferences of things that you buy, you know, as a consumer, or that you would buy into. Like, of course it is. You know, you can be an Apple fan or a Samsung fan. That's totally fine. But when you cross the line of then disparaging, like, something else, but not just disparaging it, because you could say, you know, I'm a Samsung fan, I think Apple products are shit. Fine. That's okay. It's when then you go to someone's like, I'm going to buy some AirPod Max, and you're like, no, you can't do that. Like, you shouldn't do that. They're shite. You're wasting your money. It's like, why do you care? Like, because ultimately it's not your money. You're not that person. You've made your choice. That's fine. So, but you don't need to defend that. You don't need to do the work of corporations for them. You know what I mean? Like, if Samsung want to try and target those people, they will, for advertising, through showing their product. They might even take jibes, you know, in their adverts or in other things against other products, right? So don't do free work for corporations. It's just bizarre. It's just so, it's really strange. But yeah, I mean, that's gone down a massively weird tangent.
I mean, that's what this is all about, isn't it? vent all your frustrations before your holiday. I mean, use this as a therapy session if you wish.
I will. Yeah, I will. Well, I am. So, very odd.
Oh, dear.
And now, if you were to move on to something slightly different, away from your venting needs, I guess. It's one of the other things we had lined up. I know Scott wanted to talk about it, and he was really excited to talk about it. So I feel like we should cover it a little bit, at least. And this is about we've got it headlined as PlayStation and Activision Blizzard financials, but this is kind of a general or top level title for a number of companies this year, which have released their Q2 financial results, and we were going to go over them. And I believe, Luke, you've had a bit more time to go over these than I've been able to. Did you want to run this off at all? Or are you just as clueless as I am and we can go through it all together?
No, so I think I looked at... I haven't seen the Activision Blizzard ones in any great detail. I looked at the Sony ones because they came out a couple of days ago, so I've had time to look at those. I think from recollection, and I could be wrong, I think the Activision Blizzard ones were maybe pretty significantly down in terms of kind of everything, essentially.
I've got it up on the screen, actually. I think Activision, the division of Activision, is minus 38%. Blizzard is minus 5%. But King, the mobile division, is plus 8%.
Yeah. And your wife on Candy Crush.
She's obsessed with Candy Crush.
revenue, isn't it?
But their total revenue was still $1.64 billion. So...
Yeah, well, it's not worth waking up and getting out of bed for that, is it, really, if you're a company? exactly. Yeah, and I think so that the Sony ones were a little bit different. So they were for the last quarter, albeit the last Sony financial quarter, because their financial year runs a little bit differently to other companies. I can't remember the exact months, but it's not when we say the last quarter, it's not what you would think in normal parlance to be as the last quarter, right?
Sure.
So I think, you know, their results, just looking at them here, sales 17.3 billion, so they were up 2% year on year. Operating income, which is profit essentially, 2.3 billion, which is up 10%. Their gaming network service, that was Sony as a whole, by the way. Their sales for PlayStation, 4.5 billion, which was down 2% year on year. And their operating income was about 400 million, which was down about 37% year on year. And then they gave some stats about, you know, how many PlayStation 5 they'd shipped and all of that sort of stuff, and give a full year forecast as well. So they're not, I mean, if you want to touch on the PlayStation ones, I guess, they are, you know, the main thing you should be looking at rather than, I think this is again a problem of reading comprehension or of people talking about things they don't know anything about, because you would look at, first of all, people don't like, people don't know what operating income is, so they don't realize it's profit. And so I saw a number of people saying that, oh, they've lost, you know, 40% of revenue or stuff, which is bollocks, basically. Operating income is profit, essentially. It's after all your other expenditure has gone, you know, anything that you've got to spend money on. And that was down 37%, which is quite a lot. Still 400 million profit, which is great by any standard. But the reason for that, they said, was that they'd had, in the last quarter, significant first-party development expenses, as in they'd put additional investment into their first parties. That's probably through hiring and tech and stuff like that. So they spent an awful lot of money on it. It might be, it just falls at the time of year where they would typically have this. I'll have to look at the financials. But they may also be referring to things like expenditure on PSVR 2, if production's ramping up on that. It didn't include the Bungie stuff, which should come in the next quarter financials. So you probably see, again, lower operating income. But if you actually look...
This information has to get put together, weeks, if not months before, right? So I'd imagine probably the reason why. Yeah,
it's usually at least a month before that you would prep all this stuff.
Sure.
Before you actually have to give the numbers out. So, and their revenue is down 2%, which is really good. You know, I think Microsoft had fairly, you know, in the Xbox division, fairly similar results. I think their revenue was down maybe 7%, but they had good operating income and they were making headway elsewhere. It's natural that both Sony and Microsoft will have lower revenue. Of course it is. Look at the world around you over the last, you know, 6 months. Not just, you know, people going out and not spending as much money on, you know, consoles, etc., but also... rising, you know, rapid inflation, expendable income is going down for most people. So obviously gaming is one of the first things as a luxury that will suffer, which is why the negative light that these financial results and Microsoft's financial results were painted in by like different fanboy groups was very misguided and again quite strange, because these are actually quite good. I would have expected revenue to be lower, you know, maybe double digits for some of these companies. We'll get on to Activision in a minute. But they were good. You know, they were good numbers. You know, they'll start to rise over the next year, probably, for Sony as they start to bring out, you know, more PlayStation 5s, get them more into the wild. I think they're expecting the full year forecast for profit to be, for the gaming division, just under $2 billion. In profit. So I don't know what Microsoft's is, but it would also be very high. Again, you know, there's nothing really more to say on the PlayStation ones. They are what they are. The Activision ones, I think, were more interesting. I don't know if anybody else wants to touch on those first, but they were generally pretty bad.
I mean, I've got one particular, not since this isn't going to be a profit thing, but this is their developer count has actually been released as part of some of these statements as well. And one of the ones I find absolutely crazy is that they have noted that they've got a roughly 25% increase in developers, and how this is massive, given obviously 25% of what they currently had before. And it's now saying that that their estimated total developer count is now in excess of like 11,000 people, obviously across all of the different subdivisions. But that's crazy, right? To have all of that resource.
Didn't they just recently make an acquisition as well, Activision? Didn't they just buy somebody?
Okay. Yeah, it was Blizzard, wasn't it? The Blizzard part. It bought 100 Teen Studio or something. Yeah. So technically, yes, they did. Yeah, it was a studio that made Spellbreak, I think, that they built, which is about 100 So yeah, and they're all making Call of Duty. Not quite, but most, you know, many of them are. I mean, for now, yeah. I mean, the one thing I really hope when Microsoft take them over is we get, you know, developers making different games, you know, not just Call of Duty. That would be great. But yeah, I think that's a really interesting point, Pucks. Again, it speaks to, I guess, how big Activision Blizzard are in terms of personnel, you know, how much resource they have to chuck at some of these games, especially Call of Duty. If you think about like Infinity Ward, Raven, all these kind of Call of Duty studios, they're all probably at least 500 developers a piece. You know, they're huge. Sledgehammer, Treyarch, right? They're all massive. They're all huge AAA developers in their own right, making this one series, and they all kind of come together as effectively at times to work on the same game. Yeah, and I think for Activision, it is probably just more worrying. I think their revenue was pretty significantly down. I think the Activision segment, as you say, was like 38% down, which would account for, you know, effectively the Call of Duty division, as it were. King was up, but I guess that kind of makes sense that King's up, like Candy Crush, you know, mega popular, but also low cost of entry, lots of people playing it, you know, people commuting back to work, all that kind of stuff, like spending tiny amounts here and there. Makes sense.
I think another game, was it their Crash Bandicoot mobile game, I think is doing really well. So
yeah.
Obviously nowhere near as big as Candy Crush, but it's a big IP, right? So amongst the many others that they've developed for.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, I think Microsoft will be looking at all of that in context, and obviously it's just a Q2 result. They'll be looking at that and thinking, actually, we can really help with some of this. Like, you know, they probably think that they can help get revenues back up again pretty quickly. And bear in mind as well that Activision have a lot, you know, Overwatch 2 comes out in October. That will be a significant source of revenue. You've got Diablo 4 next year. You've obviously got Modern Warfare 2 coming out as well. Obviously this is on the back end of last Call of Duty was Vanguard, right? That was the last one. Yeah. That by all accounts was not a smashing success. I mean, it still did really well, but it wasn't, you know,
comparatively it did the worst in recent years.
Comparatively it didn't do great, so they'll recover, you know, they will have better quarters, but this one was just a particularly bad one for them.
To be fair though, they did come out before Vanguard did to say it would not be a good game. They did say it won't be as good as a game as Cold War. So, you know, they prepared us for it. It was going to be
They said it's going to be shit, but you'll buy
it's
it.
It's going to be shit. You'll buy it anyway.
Oh, you only play Warzone anyway, so it doesn't matter.
That's it. But like, but to be fair, the best and biggest thing that will come out of this deal is we'll be rid of Bobby Kotick. Probably one of the most talented people in the gaming industry. So that's the best thing that could come out of it, and we should all celebrate that anyway. But I think these things are going to go up and down anyway. Don't get me wrong, I haven't got a bloody clue. Half the numbers you just said made no sense to me whatsoever. I haven't got a clue in half the stuff you said. It was French. You could have said anything to me, and I really wouldn't have known what you meant, apart from when you said it. Profits were down slightly. Even their profits down slightly is still 400 million more than I've got. So, you know.
Billions, by the way. Billions.
Billions. Billions. Billions. I'm sure they'll manage to sleep and, you know, for another night quite easy. But, you know, especially with the pandemic where obviously things were all up a lot higher anyway because nobody was going anywhere and doing anything. So, it's bound to see some drops, probably a bit more, like say, with inflation and stuff. You know, obviously here in the UK, got announced this afternoon, highest rate increase from the Bank of England from like 30, since 30 years ago, was it? Is it 1.76, something stupid like that?
1.75% now. That's
it, yeah. So, you know, we're all losing.
Due to enter a recession, so we're all going to have to tighten our wallets.
That's it, you know.
Even more than we already are, probably.
That's it. You just forget lube. There's going to fuck you over anyway. Don't even need the lube anymore, you know?
Raw and sore, yeah.
That is it. That is the saying of the day. The raw and sore today here in the UK. Oh, dear. But, you know, things are going to go up and down. I do think the deal, once it goes through, things are going to improve. Things are going to get better eventually. And like I say, having these subscription services we've got now are going to make it a little bit easier to access these games without paying $70 for them. And I'm looking forward to this year's Call of Duty, to be fair. I've not played Call of Duty since Black Ops 2. But now that this one's... Because is it next year's has been delayed? Or moved back or whatever they've done, so there isn't going to be a Call of Duty in 2023?
Yeah, it's at least a two-year cycle now, I believe.
Yeah,
which is probably going to be better. And I think it could bring in a lot more new players, you know. And there was the announcement, was it today or yesterday, that Warzone 2 will be coming this year, but it won't launch alongside the new Call of Duty. So, you know, it's one of them things are going to take a dip and then they're going to go up, then they're going to go down again, and believe it or not, they'll go up again and down again, you know. It's just kind of the, you know, madness. Everything's volatile. The world's crazy. God, there's a guy in one country that all he has to do is push one button, we're all gone. Madness.
We're living in madness. It's for the best.
It could be, yeah.
But yeah, I mean, like, yeah, I think, as you say, BNG, they'll go up and, like, it's a quarterly result. These companies live from game to game, essentially. I mean, they do really well from game to game, but, like, that, you know, when they have big releases, guess what? They have massive revenue and their profits all go up. And when they don't, or when it's a weird year like it is in terms of everything on the outside world, you know, luxury stuff doesn't do as well. It doesn't matter what you're looking at, whether it's this or Netflix or Disney or whatever. Like, generally, stuff is down because people don't have the same amount of money to spend on this stuff as they normally would, or the inclination, because they've got more important things to worry about, which is shit because it shouldn't be like that. But that's just what we live in at the moment. I mean, I think for Activision, you know, they're in a quite good position in a way because, and I think this will hold true when Microsoft acquires them as well, which is that, you know, I'm really glad they're going to these two-year dev cycles for Call of Duty. And I think Microsoft will hold that because if you've got Warzone, you've got Call of Duty Mobile, you've got everything else that Activision are making, you know, you've got this constant source of money all the time, these, you know, especially the Call of Duty free-to-play stuff. Makes just an insane amount of money all the time. So you don't, you know, you're not pressured by having to think, well, we've got to release a big Call of Duty this year because, you know, we're not doing that well. I think, you know, Activision, if they were left on their own to their own devices and didn't have that support of a bigger parent, essentially, they might try, you know, try best to, you know, push Call of Duty out to 2 years a game. But it might not be possible with the amount of sunken investment cost and, you know, developer cost and all that stuff going on while they're making it. I just hope, like, out of all of this, that I'm not really, I am bothered about the financial, because it means, if you know, how much they continue and are able to invest in games. But I think Microsoft acquiring is a great thing for the developers there and Activision in general, because they'll be able to just make, hopefully, better games. You know, different ones as well, which have been really good.
Just a quote from Stubbs as well. Do you mean release every 2 years, Call of Duty, as COD takes 3 years to make, don't it?
Two-year release cycle. I mean, not two-year dev cycle. Correct.
I mean, yes, you're right. Yeah, it probably takes about a good 2-3 years to make a game, but that's why they've got different companies that cycle with it. So it's not just one business that makes the game every year. It cycles between three of them at the moment. So
yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Cool.
I think was originally planning to run the show to about 9:30. So if we've got any other topics we want to talk about, we could definitely bring it up. And I think actually one we can talk about, which came out today, one for BMG to get his teeth around, is around the Xbox Game Pass family plan, which is now being planned. And again, not much information has been released about it, only that it's being trialed in two different territories. And I'm sure there's reasons for it, but Colombia and Ireland seem to be the two countries which have been picked for this trial of the plan. Seems a bit bizarre, but I know BMG, you've been looking forward to a family plan because you've got about 20 Xboxes in your household. So this must be something that you're really looking forward to at some point in the hopefully nearish future. Am I right or wrong?
you're absolutely bob on, Pucks. It's very interesting. Colombia and like Ireland, just probably the most two randomest places to pick to trial out this for whatever reason. You know, it's in bed, it's worth trying. If you're there, try it out, let us know what it's like. But for me, you know, like I say, my household, I have 5 subscriptions of Ultimate. So for me, if it's covering 5 people, will absolutely be brilliant for me because if I could find a little bit of a cheaper workaround, I think the price they're looking at is, what, $25 a month? Is it a bit...
That's what I've got at the minute as well. And I've just got something else here. They say, according to Xbox Wire at least, this plan will allow up to 4 people to share an Ultimate benefit subscription, apparently.
4? Right.
Up to 4 is what it says here. That might change, but...
Yeah, I suppose trial it out to, you know, they're probably looking at average household, how many people. Obviously, they'll know from, you know, the numbers that they've got access to see how many people in the same household have it or area and things like that. But for me, it would be brilliant. To be honest, I could do with 5. If I had 4, I'd probably have to get one to game share and do it that way. But, you know, it's about time we had something like this because obviously subscription services is becoming a bigger and bigger thing in all industries now. You know, it's like I think because, you know, all subscription services at the moment, you can have multiple profiles. But, you know, I've got Netflix in the house. I've got 5, 6 different accounts that everyone in all the different rooms have got access to. So having something like that is absolutely brilliant. I want it. This is what I need because that would, in the long run, save me money because it costs a lot of money, especially when the kids are arcing down my ear saying subscription's only got a few days left. And it's just like, right, okay, I'll do it tomorrow. And it's more money forking out. But, yeah, it'd be nice if it was able to try here. You know, you'd think they would go for countries where more bigger populations, more people, you know, where they've got bigger markets in, because I can't imagine, I know Ireland's population's not huge, you know, whereas like somewhere like the UK or even so many states in America or wherever trialing it that way. But yeah, it's something I will be having it regardless. It's just how it's going to land price point. $25 a month if it's 4 people.
I mean, that's only assumed at the moment, though, according to this.
Yeah.
They've just based on some wording from a statement, yeah.
Yeah. It's hard because obviously it'd be nice if Xbox kind of did what Sony does. You know, if say you were going to buy a year, you're getting a bit of a discount instead of paying monthly or 3 monthly, you get a bit of a discount by buying a year's worth. If there's some sort of offer in where you can get a year or so many months at a certain price, definitely jump into that. It all depends what it actually lands at and comes out at. But especially like a household like mine, this is some ideal. This is something that's needed. It's been needed for a long time. In fact, it would have been better if it came in the pandemic. You know, when I had a house full of children supping the internet's life out of it and cost me a fortune.
So a question for you then. So you say you've got 5 Xboxes, but do you have 5 people that have their own accounts as well? Or do you have 1 account for different? Oh, right. Okay. Wow.
5 accounts. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah.
Nobody likes sharing in my house.
I can tell.
Yeah. So as long as I have the best of everything, you know, pecking order and all that.
Oh, definitely. You're the one paying for it, I assume. So you definitely get the best benefit, right?
Yeah, definitely. I pay for everything. So, you know, it's bank of dad. You know, but yeah, it's one of them. It's one that's definitely needed. I mean, I could have done with it ages ago. I think Jez Corden kind of said it was been in the works for quite a while. And, you know, I can imagine, you know, it's easy for me to turn around and say they should have had this ages ago. It's easy, it's simple, but it's not. We know there's all the third parties they need to talk to, how they sort revenue out and who gets what. You know, I could only imagine that's like a logistical nightmare to try and to figure out. Whereas like things like Netflix and all that, because I'm assuming they just lease it and then they can just put it out to how many they want because it doesn't affect profit-wise, I'm assuming. I don't know how any of that works either.
I think that's a good point because I imagine from a technical point of view, you'd have, especially with something like Game Pass, where you've got, you know, you as a user sign in and then, you know, you have a license to download anything on Game Pass. But then, yeah, if you have one subscription, but then that's a bit of a five separate accounts, I imagine it's the technical nightmare of how do you distinguish what account is that person linked to Game Pass? Are they valid? How are they validated? And then are they eligible to use certain... Yeah, it sounds like a massive technical handshaking nightmare.
But yeah, because it's like... getting around to it. Because they have a lot of different, obviously, Microsoft, as from what Phil Spencer has said, they have so many different deals with different publishers and developers. Like, some are profit, get money on how many downloads, or some are just off one cost for helping them put money into the game. Could you imagine, like, if you say, like, I've got this family plan in this house. We've all got to download the same game. Does that mean because we've all got download the same game on four different consoles that company A get more revenue because there's four copies of it downloaded? And you know, and company B, they just got money for an offset cost. Do they get anything if I've got it on four consoles? I could only imagine it is just a nightmare and a headache when you've got so many different deals and. You know, with these, it sounds like a nightmare. And I'm surprised. I am surprised they've even done it. It's good that they're doing it, you know, but I'm surprised they're actually doing it because I just couldn't even imagine.
I think you've made a really good point there, actually, because I remember when Game Pass first came, a few months into when it first came out, or a year or so, whenever it was. I know there was an article with Phil Spencer and co. This is when people were first kind of inquiring as to how do other companies benefit from this, and they basically said that yes, they have a process, but it's not a fixed process. It's something that they're still working on and developing over time. And it's also not fixed for all developers in terms of how revenue is shared and how it's, you know, sorted, I guess. So, no, that's a really good point. I imagine adding something like this into the plan where arguably better for the consumer because it's less money a month for more people. But then, yeah, okay, how does the money side of it work? I didn't even consider that. I think it's a very good point.
Yeah.
Are you still there, Luke, or have you disappeared? I say, is the family plan something that you're interested in? And, you know, do you reckon it's been too long or you understand all of the potential technical hurdles? Is this something that benefits you or which way?
I mean, I don't think it's something that would benefit me per se. I just have one Game Pass Ultimate account. So, you know, I just use that across PC and Xbox.
Can I add, just a detail I've read, because it says here that apparently this works with, it says whether you add friends or family. So I'm wondering does this mean it works similar to like the Nintendo family plan where you just have like a family group that you set up, but it could be anyone. Because I had that set up a couple of years ago.
I think it might be something like that, yeah, which would be cool. And I hope it's something like that, as you say, where you can just designate people You know,
someone pays the money and then everyone else just pays them.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Like Netflix or Disney Plus or something like that, essentially. So I won't use it. I don't think I'd have ever had it, have a use for it. But I think it's great that it's being introduced, because ultimately it will hopefully save people money, which is always great. And also for Microsoft, it gets more people playing their games, you know. And if you're in, you know, if you've got one Game Pass family subscription, but that's split amongst, let's say, a few different friends, and they have their own hardware and stuff, then you might entice those people into not necessarily buying a separate subscription, but certainly, you know, buying stuff on the platform, right? Because they're saving money on their Game Pass stuff. So I think that's really, really good. You know, it's really good news. So I think we need to see more about it. I think we'll get a lot more information when the testing stuff comes out in the countries you mentioned. So we'll probably have to see. I mean, that's never going to be final anyway, because they're probably doing it in a certain way to see the reaction there, and then they may tweak it when they start bringing it out worldwide. But I think it's, you know, it's a positive step, and I think it's a good move, particularly in these times. I won't use it, but I'm sure lots of people will.
I think I'm in a similar boat to that. I don't think I have enough people around me where I would get the benefit, unless, of course, you know, that's when you start going out to, if I know four people that all have Game Pass and love it and want to pay into it, then maybe. But I think similar to when I had a Nintendo family plan thing set up, like I was the person, because I was the biggest fan of this little group of circle, so I paid into it. Other people were interested, gave me like, what, £6 each or something, so it was cheap for that first year. And then before you know it, people forget about it, don't even use the service, and then I end up paying £30 for eight people, and I'm the only one that's actually using it. So for me, yes, it could have a benefit, but I would just be suspicious that I might fall into that trap again, so I probably wouldn't touch onto it personally. But as you say, I think especially for people like yourself, BMG, it's if anything, it doesn't fully fit your bill, because you need it to be up to five, but it's a great plan. It's a good idea.
I wonder though if they're going to do, you know, like maybe do it slightly different in both countries. One has so many, the other maybe do, one does five, one does four, trying to see
like different levels of family plan as well, you mean? Like
obviously that way, if you obviously, it's still strange testing it in just two very odd countries, you know, nothing wrong with them countries, I'm sure they're brilliant, but it's like I would have personally gone somewhere with bigger populations, and like I say, do it a little bit different in the countries, just to see what's more popular, what's being used more, because that way I suppose you can kind of gauge where people are at, because it's like I think kind of these days, especially, you know, in the UK, families are bigger than they used to be. I think like the average family now is like four children in a family. You know, it's a lot higher than it was 10, 20 years ago. But, you know, it might drop now. TV's got a bit better. I don't know. I didn't have much. See, I had four channels when I was younger. So it's all different these days. But yeah, you never know. I'd hope they would do five. Five kind of seems to be a right place for it, personally. Because it's like, I think gaming now in like our generation and next generation, it's like more and more parents are gamers as well as the children, you know. And yeah, you're also seeing some grandparents that are gamers, you know. It's, you know, it's kind of, we're not all just walking down the street in, you know, wearing like light blue, beige, tweed stuff and, you know, all of the kids game and things like that. You know, things are a bit different these days, and, you know, maybe they might offer a couple of different options. You know, we have Game Pass Ultimate, maybe have Game Pass Family Plan for four, Game Pass Ultimate for five. You know, you never know, I suppose. These are sort of different options they could look at.
Yeah, no, definitely. So fingers crossed, you know, hopefully it's an insider preview thing, so hopefully it all goes well. And hopefully it doesn't take too long either. I think, to be fair, there's no view on release dates or things like that, but I think when you see things reaching the insider program, I think it's arguably a good sign that it's not going to be massively far away. So you never know, it might be by the end of the year, or it could be, you know, by end of quarter one next year perhaps. But fingers crossed it comes out soon for you and for everyone else that wants to use it. I think there's only got, unless you guys have anything else you want to talk about in particular, I have one more kind of just little fun thing I was going to talk about regards to regards to Halo 2. I don't know if you guys have seen this little thing regarding Halo 2, which happened like early in the week. So basically, there was a speedrunner who, or it was, I don't know, someone online, a social media streamer person, whoever, put out a challenge to say, if it was like a $5,000 reward, then they upped it to $20,000. And apparently after 18 years or something, it hasn't been done. So the idea is that you play through Halo 2 on Legendary difficulty with all of the skulls, I think bar one or two, turned on, which basically effectively act as debuffs to your character. Correct me if I'm wrong, Luke. So you're playing on Legendary, which is hard anyway, and then you're activating all of these debuffs, which make the game monstrously much more difficult, and you're on Legendary. But yeah, after 18 years or so, there was a streamer called Charlie Critical White, who apparently set out, and he was the first person to beat the game under those constraints, without dying, by the way. That's the final thing. We're Legendary, all skulls on, and don't die. And I was quite surprised to hear that, actually, he was the first person. I would have thought that that's the kind of challenge that would... Yes, it's difficult, but after such a long time frame, I would have imagined other people would have done it. So, I mean, Luke, you, I think, I mean, I don't know about yourself, BMG, but I know, Luke, you not only do you love Halo, I know you're a massive fan of Halo 2. Is this something that you were kind of surprised to hear in a way, that no one had done this before? Or did you just kind of find it like, eh, whatever? I know speedrunning is can be a bit give or take, but I mean, I quite like watching speedruns. I think it's super impressive, but... Yeah, is the, were you surprised it's taken so long for this kind of challenge to be done?
I mean, in some ways, yeah. I mean, if you've ever played like Halo 2 with some of the skills on, it's ridiculously difficult. I mean, like super difficult, because some of the skulls do things like... so the main thing they do is they raise the damage of other enemies and they reduce your health, which in of itself is difficult, especially if you're on Legendary, which is already really hard. But they do stuff like they tweak the fire rate of enemies as well. They let enemies spam grenades. So they basically let the AI of an enemy go completely bonkers so that they're much less predictable. And they can do tons more damage and stuff. So actually, you know, this kind of run, thinking about it, you know, without dying, right, which is, you know, not once, it's unbelievably difficult. So I guess in that...
Is this something that you've done before in your Halo career?
I mean, I've certainly played Halo 2 at Legendary with some skulls on, and I did not get far. Like, I just didn't get far at all, because it's just like, it almost feels impossibly difficult to do. Not just like, oh, this is really hard, but if I stick at it, you know, I'll probably be able to do it. Not like Bloodborne difficult or Sekiro. Like, actually, no, this is fucking impossible.
I was going to say, because, you know, people, there's streamers out there who do death runs of all of the Souls game hitless, and people have done this. And it's just like, but then Halo 2 of Legendary Skulls on, nobody had done it yet. It kind of just blew my mind a little bit as to why it's such a disparity there. But
yeah, but there you go. So it is really impressive, you know. And I think if more people went back and for whatever reason wanted to play Halo 2 at Legendary with loads of skulls on, they would see why it's taking so long.
Oh, just a correction on my part. So yeah, the streamer called Critical is the one who set the bounty. Yeah, and a streamer called Jervelin or whatever is the one that did it. Did it 6.5 hours is a timestamp I've got in front of me on like some video.
Ooh. Yeah. No. Halo's that guy with the green outfit, isn't he?
I think so. Lines on the back, maybe. Yeah.
It's that franchise that's better than Assassin's Creed, if you remember.
Yeah, I know you're joking. It's all right. No, I'm one of them.
You're not a Halo fan at all?
No, I do. Halo. I do like Halo, and I'm looking forward to when the Infinite co-op actually goes live, so for everyone to play. Because I'm not quite keen on how they're doing some of the stuff. You know, that if you're in with someone else.
Oh, the tethering thing, yeah.
No, it's not so much the tethering, because you kind of... I understand the tethering, and it's an actually good thing to do, because what's the point in playing with friends if you're just going to both run off in opposite direction and be on your own anyway? Kind of defeats the object of playing it co-op. You know, you kind of want to be close doing stuff together. But is it the... if I say, you're the host of the game, I jump into your game to play with you, yeah, I get some of the upgrades, but I don't progress, and you've got to start fresh. So I've already completed Halo. Yeah. I've already completed the Halo Infinite campaign, but for me to play co-op with you, say you've just started co-op, it's like a whole new save. So you're starting fresh from the start.
I think you would jump into my world. You would be where I am. And then once you disconnect, none of that progress is saved for you, as I understand it. You just go back to whatever your save state was.
Yeah, but you take the upgrades with you. So say we got 5 upgrade modules in yours, I would take them back with me, but none of my story would progress and I would have to redo all that.
Is that the case, Luke? I'm not too sure on that one. I think I remember hearing something like that, but have they confirmed that kind of thing yet?
I think that's right.
Right,
I could be wrong, but I think that's
I'd have to double check it, because I remember, because I was a bit confused when they were sort of like going over everything that we're doing, and I was like, I don't think I would want to play the game, but I don't think I'd want them to help someone get right through the game to the end of the game and go, oh, I've now got to start it all over again, but have all the stuff I've got, because then it kind of, I don't think that would be enjoyable. It'd be better if you could do it as you do one world, you're both progressing. If you're at the same point, you know, both
that makes sense. That if you're both at the same save point, or you both just start a new game, then track both of you. Otherwise,
That would, you know, like I complete the game, jump into your game, doesn't do anything for me because I've done the story, but I can help you progress and do the story with you, and then that's fine. But no, I think that's it. You don't, whoever you jump into, the other person doesn't benefit as in story wise. And open world stuff. It's just the upgrade stuff that you carry over. But things can change. They always can. You know, it is still in the insiders thing, isn't it? So, but yeah, no, I do like Halo. I prefer Halo over what's that one called with chainsaws that nobody likes, with the ugly things that they've done 5 games on.
Gears of something.
Gears of War. I do prefer Halo. I'm actually watching the TV show at the moment. I'm on episode 5, I think it is. Yeah, it's not very Halo-y, to be honest, but you know, it's not bad either. I'm enjoying watching it. But I don't think I'd want to spend that much time just trying to do the same bit. I think that would drive me insane. You know, I started Returnal, and I've had to leave it alone because it's just, I've died 5 times in like literally 10, 15 minutes of playing the game, and I just screamed at my PlayStation and I had to walk away because I thought, I can't do it. I can't do it. No. And to do a thing where you can't die once, I think that would break me. That would break me. I'd lose my eyebrows.
So is it a roguelike, Returnal?
I think roguelike's designed to test your sanity. But yeah, no. Yeah, it is a roguelike. I know Luke's done it. Luke's, you know, told me, oh, just keep it, it's a good game and all that. But don't get me wrong, DualSense and stuff is amazing on it. You know, feeling all the rain in your hands and stuff like that. But I don't think I can keep playing it. Literally, you die, get a quick cutscene, start again with nothing, but then the world's changed slightly, so I knew where a gun was.
And I feel like you share my sentiment on the typical genre, because I think I jumped into, I think I said a couple shows back that I was going to try Dead Cells on Game Pass, which I did. And I did enjoy playing the game until about like the 5th run, when I kind of got into a similar mindset to yourself, as I have with most other games like that, where, yes, I feel like it's cool to progress, but I don't know. I just think, I'm going through all the same shit again. I'll just...
Yeah.
Like, there's definitely something I'm missing. Or the game of a roguelike hasn't quite hit
good
me yet.
Good taste. That's what you're missing.
Although I did like that they had the like the other indie game references, like they had the chair where you save chair and you get the nail, and then a few other indie game references in there. I thought that was pretty cool.
I think it's the game version of BDSM, I think.
Yeah, I think that's
because he's punishing his self-punishment. It's beautiful.
Self-flagellation.
Game. It is.
Luke loves a beating is what you're really saying, then.
Oh no, it's not a genre for me. I probably will have another stab at it just to see if I can get any further, but I don't think I really can. I like, you know, a game where I can just put it on easy, kill everything, look awesome, and then pat myself on the back for doing a good job.
Yep, I played on easy. Fantastic. Off I go. No one's going to judge you.
Baby ass mode. Yeah. That's what I'm about.
It reminds me of the Wolfenstein, the newer Wolfenstein games, when you set the difficulty and the easiest one is like, don't hurt me, daddy, or something.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
And it's literally like the guy's face with like the whole baby
garb. Yeah.
And the dummy in its mouth.
I was the one in Metal Gear Solid 5 that had the chicken head.
Oh, the chicken head. Yeah. Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, yeah. Cool. No, thanks, guys. If there's nothing else to discuss that I haven't missed, I think I'm happy to wrap up there. I know we said it was going to go on for about an hour and a half. So, I've had a really good show tonight. I hope you've both enjoyed it as well. Thank you for joining us, BMG. I hope you had a good time.
Yeah, awesome. Really enjoyed it. We'll say it was great to be back here. Great to be on with you guys again. And it's always fun to shoot the breeze with you both. And a shame Scott couldn't be here yet. And you know, a shame, you know, we know Flap's busy. It would have been awesome to see him as well. But, you know, maybe again in the future, you know, we'll can all get together and a couple of Fosters and shoot the breeze. But thanks for having me. It's been brilliant. I've really enjoyed it. Awesome show. Awesome host.
No, definitely. No. It's a great interview. I won't call myself a host. I think we just share the talking responsibility. So, no, it's been really great having you back on. I'm sure we'll have another invite in the post, as Flap would say, at some point in the near future. So if you're up for it, by all means, you're always welcome.
Anytime. And
never last. Luke, I hope you've enjoyed the show. Great to have you on as always. I always love your rants and your venting before you go away on holiday. I hope you feel much calmer now and
need to get it out. Yeah, I think actually in the future, what I'm going to do is I'm going to kind of preempt that, so you'll know when I'm about to rant or vent or get angry, because I'm going to change my lights like this.
Oh wow!
I'm going to do some proper effects so that you'll know, and then when I've done, I'll just go back. I'll just be normal again.
You've been preparing this. You've already thought about this.
So I've already thought. It's literally like I'm a Sith. It's like I'm in Star Wars.
I love it.
So that's what I'm going to do in the future.
We're going to have to create our own segment of, I don't know, Luke's rant or something.
Yeah, we'll turn all change the mood lighting, get us
tonight,
ready for it.
Yeah, tonight with Luke.
Yeah. Really enjoyed it. Got a lot off my chest, which was great. Always great having BMG on. And obviously Pokes did a great job as usual, so always enjoy these as well, because they're the funniest ones of these. I've always said to do are just the ones where you just talk about stuff and there's kind of not really an agenda. That's the fun one, so yeah, really enjoyed it.
Yeah, no, I agree with that, and I think that's why we've kind of gone along with this format that we have done. And chat, by all means, let us know if you've been enjoying these kind of more informal low-key formats. Please let us know whether in a comment or join us on the Discord channels. Again, if you there is a banner at the bottom, but because of the way that the banner and the photos have all kind of arranged themselves, you can't really see our name. So if you haven't seen me before, if you're a new listener and you want to interact with me further, you can join us on our Green Pass Gaming Discord channel. So there'll be a link for that in the description. Or you can find me personally on Twitter at PuxleyAR. You can find Luke at LukeSteel90. And BMG, I'll let you introduce yourself. And if you want to let other people know where they can find you on your other podcasting endeavors, by all means.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm Bobman Gamer. You can find me on Twitter at Bobman Gamer. I'm also a full-time member of XBL Party Podcast. You can find me over there on the YouTube channel and also the Twitter channel at XBL Party Podcast. You can find me on Roundtable Gaming with the with Stubbs and Luke and someone else that not announcing as of yet, but show coming soon, and also brand new show that's coming Tuesday the 16th of August at 9 p.m. BST, Stasis Chat, where it's mainly Destiny with a bit of gaming mixed in. It'd be great for you to join our Twitter at Stasis Chat and, you know, hopefully turn up and we can all have a good chat and a good time. Other than that, that's me.
Yeah, thank you, BMG. Yeah, for all means. Chat, check out BMG in all those different places if you're interested in more about what he's got to say. Rather than that, I'm not sure if we're doing a Sunday show this week. I have to reconfirm with the others to see if we are have one planned. If not, if we don't see you on Sunday, we shall see you next week, Thursday. Until then, happy gaming and take care of yourselves.
Good night, y'all.